Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
Elder Dante Farmer, first and foremost, honor, all honor and thanks goes to the Lord of this house, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in this place. Hallelujah. To the angel of this here house, Pastor Kimberly Black, we thank God for blessing you from head to toe. And thank you for being an obedient servant to the Lord and helping usher his saints to his glory. Hallelujah to our executive pastor, Elder Manyweather. We thank you. Peace and blessings to you. To Deacon Gwen that is in here right now, but we know he is here with us in the spirit. Hallelujah. To our deaconesses, to our brothers and sisters that are here, we thank you. We thank you for coming to worship with us in the Lord, because the word is clear. When two or three are gathered there, he is in the midst of us. We did our prayer of worship. We didn't establish protocol. So we're going to continue to stay on fire this here morning for the Lord. Amen. Our next order of worship following will be a song. And then following that will be our scripture reading from our very own Brother Pharaoh Mack, followed by our opening prayer by our very own Mother Harris.
Amen. Are you glad to be in the presence of the Lord today? Are you glad to be in the presence of the Lord today? Come on and stand up and sing. This song says, glad to be in this service one more time.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glad to be in this service.
Proverbs 27 highlights, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel, anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. May God have blessings to our hearers and readers and doers of his word.
Yes, pray, my friend.
And now for our announcement from our very own Sister Vicky.
Praise the Lord, Saint. Praise the Lord. He's in the house today. Our announcement reads as follows. Don't forget, we are in person every Wednesday from 6:45 to 8 p.m. for prayer and Bible study.
Amen.
Join us in the hug and paw for some good fellowship.
Yes.
In April marked 19 years for us pastors serving. Amen. Woo, come on. Amen. Yeah, give it up. Yeah. But due to vacation, sickness, and out-of-town assignment, we didn't get an opportunity to shower her with words of encouragement, thank yous, and gifts. But this Sunday, we'll have an opportunity to love on her. So, yeah, we can give her gifts, love, pray for her, and just support her. Amen. The 40th church anniversary. Woo! Come on. Amen. We'll be meeting, well, that was last Tuesday, this Tuesday, at 7 p.m. by Zoom. All team members are asked to please be present. And if you have students that are graduating this year, all right, come on. Yes, amen. Please give their names to Mother Gloria before Sunday, May 26th. Don't forget, that's important. And these are our announcements for today. Let us govern yourselves accordingly. And remember, the blood still works.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And what God has for you is for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank the Lord, everybody. Amen. I'm going to sit up here and make observations. Amen. And we truly thank God for all of his joy in the midst of us. Amen. I'm truly grateful to God for each of you. Deacon and Master, to all of you who make up this wonderful congregation, look around.
Amen.
Look around.
Amen.
And tell them I'm glad to see you.
Amen.
I'm glad to see you. So we're so grateful to God. We just want to say a thank you to everyone for all the prayers, all the text messages, and all the phone calls that I received last week. I have a small tumble in the backyard, amen, trying to put together a hammock, speaking of that, and I was going to sit out in the sun a little while and enjoy the sunshine and watch my grandbaby play and all that, you know, those wonderful things. And so I put it together and I said, this was easy. And for Sarah, when I went to sit down, I kept going down. Amen. And so discomfort, some pain, but I thank God for the prayer. If it continues to go, I want to do what he is going to do. And I want to say you all really prayed hard for me. And I thank you for all the text messages, all the phone calls. I really appreciate it so much. I want to take out this time to welcome anybody that's with us on Blog Talk. If you are calling in for the first time and you would like to say good morning and greet us, let us know where you're calling from. We would like to bring you on live at this time. Press 1 on your phone and we can bring you on live. Amen. We can bring you on live. Amen. We want to remind you, as Sister Vicky said, we are here every Wednesday. Amen. For prayer and Bible study. So we want you all to come out and join us. Amen. People across the street don't think that we are a church because they only see us once a week. So we need to get out more, we need to be seen more, and so we need to be here more. Amen. I was in a meeting with some pastors this week, and I was truly blessed by what I heard. And the pastor said that if your church is hurting, if your church is sick, going through some things, it's missing something. And he said, let me tell you what it's missing. He said it's missing evangelism. If your church is hurting, your church is in pain, you're missing something. And so I'm going to continue to pray over that and ask God to give clarity and vision on what that looks like for us, because we are few in number, but I know that there's a way we can make a big impact. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to, when you get home this week, look for your blue t-shirt, worship out of box. Get it cleaned up, get it ironed up, get it ready. Hang it up. Get it ready, because whatever we do, that's what we'll have on. Amen. And so that's what we're going to seek the Lord for. So just be ready, keep your eyes and ears open, and be praying. Amen. Be praying that we may continue to do the work that God has commissioned and commanded us to do.
Amen.
Maybe small in number, and some of us may be moving kind of slow, but there's still a great work for us to do, and we'll hear that in the message on today. Amen. It's still a great work for us to do. Sister Amanda, any word on your sister? Okay. We're still praying for her family, her mother, her sister's husband, and children. We're still praying for our very own deacon, Rayford Quinn. Amen. Let us keep him lifted up in prayer. We're also praying for the niece of Mother Mae and Brother Mac. Her name is Kim Bowles. She was transported to South Carolina this week, needing a heart transplant and a kidney transplant. And so we're praying that Brother Farrell sends his toy. She's holding her own. She's breathing on her own. For the prayer of the righteous one avail of us. So let's not stop praying. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to keep those and others. Deaconess Sanders, let's continue to pray for her. Let's continue to pray for Mother Betty Walker. I don't know if any of you are nursing home, but they are the ones. They are the ones that are carrying the COVID virus a lot. So the nurse home or Mother Walker that currently has COVID. And so we're praying for her and the residents and the staff there. I was telling her, Kim, it's COVID, it's just like a hot cold these days. It ain't going nowhere. So you want to either one day get it or you don't. But it's like some people don't catch the cold, they don't catch the flu. But we just want to continue to be prayerful. Amen. I am so excited to see my sister walk in. Amen. You all, this is Minister Elder Cheryl Baker. Amen. Amen. And I am so glad to see her come in. We were together earlier this week at the baby sister Renee Watson. Remember, I announced it last Sunday. Sister Vicki maybe announced it last Sunday about her reading from her new book. I want to encourage all of you to get the book. Or buy the book and give it to a woman or a young woman. It's about relationships between a woman, her mother, her grandmother, this woman and her two best friends. It's about her, and of course you can't leave them out. The men. Come on now. And she talks about the book is just so full of facts and information of Portland. I want you to get the book. I want you to read the book. You can get it on Amazon. You can go to the bookstore and get it. It's a powerful book. It's been motivating us. I've been dipping through it, but I've been listening to Mama and Lonnie have conversations, and then I've been seeing people on Facebook about that. I've got two books I'm reading. I need to finish them before I start this one, or I'll never finish none of them. But it has been wonderful. So I want to encourage you, read something fun. This is informative. It talks about Portland, stuff that we didn't even know. I'm just going to throw one out there and then I'm going to quit. Who knows why Vanport was called Vanport? No, Mother Kenneth. Brother Kenneth, no. That's cheating. Elder, you think you know? Okay.
That's for all the shift workers and African Americans were during the time of flood.
Mm-hmm.
That was
they were there, but that's not why it was called Vanport. All right, well, I'll let you figure that one out on your own.
Get the book.
Hey, get the book. So it's so good. Elder, would you like to say something to us this morning?
Sure.
Okay.
good morning, everyone. Let me see us. I've just came just to hang out. I actually am a pastor over at Imago Day, and today is my soul care day, which means I took the day off, and I've been church hopping with my black people. I had such a good time. I started early this morning on TV with Bishop Wyman. You know that church is real, right?
Yeah.
And then I went over to Mount Olivet. My cousin goes over there, and so I just wanted to go hang over there. And then I spent just about 30 minutes over here down the street at, we go to speak there.
Which one? Fort Newsom, no.
Fort Community. And now I'm here because I just love Kim Black.
Amen.
Forget to write your name and the amount that you're giving on your envelope and where you want that envelope to go to. Amen. Our finance team is working diligently to make sure we continue to do things decent and in order. So we're asking all of you, if you're giving, to please write your name and the amount you're giving today on your envelope. If you are sending your money through Cash App or you're mailing it, our Cash App address is $NBCPDX. And if you are mailing anything, please mail it to the church at 3535 Northeast Mallory, Portland, Oregon 97212. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet one more time. Amen. We're just going to sing a little bit of this song. Oh, Lord, we praise your name. Amen. We're praise and worship is singing all of our songs to him. Remember? All of our songs to him. They talk about him, praise and worship. And then the congregational songs and all those other songs are to bless us. Amen. But let's continue to love on the Lord this morning. With, oh, Lord, we praise your name. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we come before your altar, Lord God. We come as your children, Lord God. Hallelujah. We come as your servants, oh God. Lord, I just wanted to bow before you, Lord God. I just wanted to kneel. I wanted to humble, Lord God, my heart before you, Lord. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord God, for your care upon your children. We heard the woman of God said, soul care, our own soul care, Lord God. We are crying out for our soul's care, Lord God. Lord, we are praying today that you would feed us from your table, Lord God. For we are your people, Lord, and we are the sheep of your pasture. We honor you in this place, oh God. Lord, we stop for just a little while to bring our cares before you, Lord God. Lord God, anything that is inside of us that is not pleasing to you, Lord God, we are asking, Father, that you move it out of the way, Lord God. Father, break up the battleground. Break up the hardness of the heart, oh God. Break up the stiff neck, Lord God, that we may humble ourselves before our holy God. Lord, we want you to be pleased with us, oh God. We want you to be blessed by your children, Father. We want to praise you, Lord God, in spirit and in truth. So, Lord God, we cast all our cares upon you right now. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Lord God. Use us now, Lord God, according to your plan. Speak to our hearts, Father. Use the woman of God to bring forth the bread of life. Father, I hear you saying through Jesus to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, Lord God. Some are hungry, Lord God. Some are starving for your word, Lord God. Some don't even know they need your word, Lord God. So wherever we find ourselves today, Lord God, we pray that your spirit will move with power. Lord God, that you would wash, cleanse, make new. Lord God, and as you are breaking up the battleground, cultivate, Lord God. Make the soil fertile for you, Lord God. That as the seed of the word falls upon us, Lord God, that it will spring up into us a well of living water. That we may run, Lord God, and not be weary. We can walk and not faint, Lord God. So, Lord God, today, bless now your people, Lord God. Because, Lord God, we know that we have to come before you now. Hallelujah. And we bless you, Lord God. You have kept us, oh God. Now, Lord God, feed us, guide us, forgive us, strengthen us, encourage, oh God. Build up, Lord God, that has been torn down. Where the enemy has lied to us, oh God. Will you stop his lies, oh God? In Jesus' name, Lord God, be thou glorified and exalted, Lord God. Can't nobody do us like you can, Lord God. Can't nobody do us like you. So, Lord God, we say thank you. Lord, we want to thank you for the altar today. We want to thank you for the altar. Because, Lord God, when we come before you, we have an opportunity not only to cast our cares upon you, but, Lord God, to hear from heaven. So may we hear from heaven today. May we be strengthened and encouraged. Bless the woman of God, Lord God. Bring down from her heaven, Lord God, from her belly. Speak, Lord God, for your servants are listening. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've done and what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, Lord God. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Our lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians. Well, first and 2 Corinthians is where our book is directing us to. We're going to focus in on chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Pastor Cheryl, since COVID, we've been using our Sunday school material because everybody had a book. It gave everybody an opportunity to study, and then when they came to church on Sunday, they would hear something different and then be challenged to go back and study again so that they could see, where did she get that from? How did she come up with that? And then make it applicable to their own lives. And I think for me, it has helped. Amen. I don't know about nobody else. For me, I've been blessed. Amen. By having the word more than once. I just want to give you a little bit of background on 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because we're walking through the Bible in a year, and it doesn't make any sense to read all of these scriptures and not know some of the background of what was taking place or what was going on in these books. But let me tell you, 1st Corinthians was a strong, straightforward letter written by who? The Apostle Paul. And you know, he did not play with his words. He was brash. He was on point. It was truth. It was mic dropping. Amen. It was eye opening. It got in your business. It got on your nerves. Paul was that type of preacher. And so he writes this letter to the Corinthian church to help them identify problems that they were having, to offer solutions, and then to teach believers how to live for Christ in a corrupt society. Sound like we really, really need to dig in 1 Corinthians, huh? Because if we get any more corrupted than what we are, we're going to be in a mess. But Corinthians, 1 Corinthians specifically, teaches us how to live for Christ in a corrupt society. People, I found at some places, they don't want sound doctrine. Sometimes people just want that what sounds good and feels good. Because don't nobody want somebody standing over them telling them what to do and how to do it. But how do we know how to live right? How do we get this teaching? How do we get this practice of doing things decent and in order? The key verse in 1 Corinthians comes from the first chapter, verse 10. Somebody who has your Bible, come on and read it for me. 1 Corinthians, verse 10.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there are no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment.
Amen. So those are straightforward words. When the church comes together, we need to be doing what? Have the same mind, speaking the same thing. Even when you get home, you ought not, you, is this, Yeah. No cold water. Just, yeah. Okay. We have to say the same thing about our worship experience when we get home. Amen? You cannot say one thing here and then get to the house and say something else. As being one body in Christ. We're going to talk about that in a minute too. We'll look at that in a minute. 1 Corinthians is broken down in two parts. The first part addresses the problems. And I'm telling you all, they had some problems. They had false teachers. They had problems with marriage. They had problems with money. They had problems of you pray, and this, I can't stand this. I don't pray like Elder Manyweather. I don't pray like Deaconess Faye. I don't care, because you ain't been through what Elder Manyweather been through. Oh, come on here, somebody. So, no, you ain't supposed to pray like her. You're supposed to pray like you. And if all you got is a fifth-grade education, use your fifth-grade words to talk to Jesus. All right? If you got a doctorate degree, then I expect to hear some of them big words when you talk to Jesus. But you ain't impressing me with your big words, because I don't know what they mean, so I'm not moved. But when we're praying, we can't. This is what they were doing in Corinth. They was jealous of each other's gifts. One preached, they preach better. I've seen it so many times. Folk won't come to church when they know pastor gone, because they didn't want to hear their associate minister preach. Folks have a favorite person that leads their favorite song. I used to hate it when you had choirs and there was one person, the lead song. How come four or five people couldn't learn the lead? Wouldn't that be something? We could sing the same song every Sunday with a different lead. So the second part of 1 Corinthians, Paul answers the questions that the church had. And then he begins to give them instructions. He gives them instructions on Christian marriage, Christian freedom, public worship, and the resurrection. All right? 2 Corinthians. For those of you that are taking notes, am I moving too fast? Okay, sorry. I'm moving too fast. Instructions on marriage, freedom. Thank you, Elder. Public worship and restoration, resurrection. 2 Corinthians was a different type of letter, a different type of writing for Paul. It was an intense, personal autobiography of his life. Paul had to affirm his own calling, defend his authority as an apostle, and rebuke the false teachers that were in the church. That's what 2 Corinthians was all about. He had to prove who he was, because people were saying he was Saul. He killed a whole bunch of us. Now he wants us to come to church and pray with him and close our eyes and lift up our hands with him. So the key verse in 2 Corinthians is chapter 5, verse 20. Can someone read that one for me? 5 and 20. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us.
All right. We are what? Ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody that represents a nation, a kingdom, other people, other than themselves. Okay? So we are ambassadors. As we look at our lesson here, our lesson text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 31. But I want you to take this journey with me through the first 14 verses, because I think it's important that we hear the beginning of this letter and not just jump to the middle of it. So from the Apostle Paul, I'm reading from the Living Bible, chosen by God to be Jesus' missionary, and from his brother to the Corinthians, to the Christians in Corinth, invited by God to be his people and made acceptable to him by Christ Jesus, and to all Christians everywhere, whoever called upon the name of the Lord, our God, and theirs. Verse 3 says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you all his blessings and great peace of heart and mind. Verse 4, he says, I can never stop thanking God for all the wonderful gifts he has given you. Gonna pause right there. Paul wrote this letter to all the Christians, to the Christians in Corinth, and then the Christians that were in the uttermost parts of the world. And verse 4, he says, I never stop thanking God for all the wonderful gifts he has given you. Tell yourself, God has given me gifts. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift, okay? He says, now that you are Christ, you've accepted him, you've confessed, you believe, you're on the battlefield for the Lord, you had a made-up mind, things you used to do, you don't do no more, places you used to go, you don't go nowhere. Now that you belong to Christ, Brother Farrell, that scripture you read was so powerful this morning, because in my class the class I just finished, World Religion, one of our guest speakers said, we ought to stop walking around calling ourselves Christians and saying that we're Christians. Other people should look at us and look at the life we live and say, now that's a Christian. That's what that verse that you read this morning, Brother Farrell, that's what that says. I'm not going to walk around here and put a bumper sticker on my forehead or on my car and say I'm a Christian, but the things I do, the things I say will reflect the Christ in me. And other people will say, now that's a Christian woman. That's a godly woman. Not for me to walk around and say, I'm a holy woman. I'm a righteous woman. Be like Shug Avery on The Color Purple. I'm married now. That's how some of us do. Because we don't have the light to let it shine. Oh, my God. And we have lost the salt to make it savior. So we got to tell it. Verse 5 says, he has enriched your whole life. Oh, my God. That's a reason to praise God right there. He has enriched your whole life. He has helped you speak out for him and given you a full understanding of the truth. What I told you Christ could do for you has happened. Now you have every grace and blessing. Say, I've got grace and blessing to flow in my gift. Every spiritual gift and power of doing his will. Whose will? His will? Whose will? Are yours during this time of waiting for the return of your Lord Jesus Christ. Get up off your seat of do nothing. Exercise your spiritual gifts until he returns. Well, I'm 60. I'm getting old. Is he back yet? I'm 70. I can't see. Is he back yet? He might have taken away your sight, but you still got a mouth. Better open up your mouth and say something. Ain't that what they say? Let me keep going. And then it says, as he guarantees right up to the end that you will be counted free from all sin and guilt on that day when he returns. God will surely do this for you, for he always does just what he says. And he is the one who invited you into this wonderful fellowship with his son, even Christ our Lord. Verse 10 says, but dear brother, I beg you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so that there won't be splits in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some of those who live at Chloe's house have told me of your arguments and quarrels, dear brothers. Let me pause right there. Some of us left family members at home. They're not here today. Now you go home, because you've been here, and you go home and you talk about Sister Sally Sue. And then after you talk about Sally Sue, you talk about Brother Bobo. And then after you talk about Brother Bobo, oh, don't forget, you got to talk about dear old pastor. And the stuff that come out your mouth ain't the stuff that came out your mouth in here. You're saying the total opposite. Okay, let me tell you about you. You're double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then let me tell you what you're doing to them. You making them not want to come to church. Look at how that sword just cut twice. It cut you and then it cut them. Look at how much harm it is when we can't be united. Everybody should leave here and we should all be saying the same thing. Worship was high. The word was good. Not, it was only 8 of us there. Same 4 people was at church. That should not come out of your mouth. Nobody should know that but us. Remember when you was children and stuff happened at home? Your mama said, you better not tell nobody what happened in my house. So those things, we don't talk about those things outside the house. I thank God that we are a church that's united. If we got division, I don't see it. If we have disharmony, I don't see it. Y'all might hear about it. If you hear about it, you need to say something because it needs to stop. It needs to cease. But we don't have it. We get along well with each other. We work well together. That's what Paul is calling for the Church of Corinth to do. Stop the childish stuff. So everybody has a gift. Everybody, and let me show you how important your gift is. Pick up your cell phone. Pick up your cell phone. Come on, I'm telling you, pick up your cell phone. Okay? Now, act like you're going to send a text. Get it together. Go to the place you're going to send a text. Okay? What's working now? What's working now for you to prepare yourself to send a text? No, what's working in your body? Uh-huh. Your finger, your mind, your eyes, uh-huh. Your fingers, your mind. This is what Paul is saying. This is what Paul is saying. It takes all of us to make up the whole body. Because if you had no vision, you couldn't see how to make it go to a text. So it takes all of us to get things working, to do things. We all have gifts. Whatever gift you did out in the world to advance somebody else's company. You need to be doing that to advance the kingdom of God. Amen? So Paul lists out here in Corinthians chapter 12, he goes to four gifts. He only talks about four. This is not the whole list. If you want to know more about spiritual gifts, you can read Romans chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. There you can find the list of spiritual gifts through those passages of Scripture. It's not just the four that he points out. He points out these four because he was trying to hold these people accountable because of all the crap that was going on in the church. So he calls attention to these four gifts, and it's verses 28. He says, God sent some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, the miracles and the gifts of healing, health, government, and diversity of tongues. Those people were in leadership roles. The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, they were responsible for teaching the word, teaching the truth, holding people accountable, making sure people crossed the T's and dotted the I's. If somebody was slipping, and we don't do this in the church no more, if somebody is slipping and we see them slipping, we just let them keep on slipping. But in the old church, especially the Church of God in Christ, they would grab your coattails. There were some old mothers in the Baptist church sometimes that would see stuff, and Mother Annie Stewart was one I can remember because she was always rapping on us like, that ain't how you're supposed to behave as a young lady. Mother Frances Hudson, soft and sweetly, sweetheart, that's not how you act. We don't have that in the church no more. We let folks do what they want to do, say what they want to do, and we don't say nothing. But don't you know that you're going to be held accountable for all that you didn't say? Now, remember this. When we go to help rebuke and correct, we must do it with the spirit of meekness. We must do it with a humble heart. Why? Because next time it might be you. Because I told you last Sunday, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody's perfect. So the way you want somebody to rebuke you is the way you want to rebuke someone else. And a rebuke just means to set in order. It ain't your hand on your hip and you rolling your neck and rolling your eyes and shaking your finger. Because we're going to fight. I'm going to either walk away, or I'm going to snatch your finger, or wring your neck, because something's happening to you. But if you come to me in love, I can receive it better. Amen? We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hurt nobody. I can hear the old church so clear. That's what we need to get back to, is telling the truth to each other, helping each other out to be stronger, to be ambassadors, better ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are living epistles read of men daily. What are they reading from your life? Without you even opening up your mouth, what are they reading from your life? Does it speak God is glorified in me? Does it speak I pray and I have a prayer life? You can call me anytime. Because he said here that we have all that we need. So Paul wants to make sure that the church knows everybody has a gift. And everybody should be using their gift to equip the saints to do a greater work for the kingdom of God. And we're going to work until he returns. There's no retiring in the kingdom of God. Folks crack me up taking a sabbatical. I understand soul care. But you still got work to do in the kingdom of God. And all your work does not take place in these four walls. Your biggest work is at home. What does Psalms 102 say? I will behave myself at home. So that's where the ministry begins, and then it spreads abroad. So if you are a hellraiser at home, they sure ain't coming here. Because they figure birds of a feather flock together. We are a praying church. We are a church that believes in the power of God. We believe in his spirit moving and abiding within us, doing his free will. And it takes all of us to do the work. I want to say thank you to Brother Farrell, because he's been stretched since Deacon Gwynn has not been present. You were stretched before, but now you're really stretched. Thank you for using your gifts. It's not just what we see, but he does some stuff on the behind. Thank you, Sister Vicki. Amen, that's right. Come on, y'all. Give honor to whom honor is due. And so we want to continue to press in and pick up the slack and do some things. So this is where I'm saying we need to clean up the restrooms weekly. That should not be his job weekly. Because he comes in and he vacuums and he, you know, somebody can come in and dust, right? He blows up the leaves. We can all do our share to help. Don't stop writing letters and cards to our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated. That's a ministry. That's an outreach. Don't stop calling folks that you know are sick. That's using your gift of help. That's using your gift of encouraging. Those of us that are teachers, don't wait. Well, Pastor's sick. Can I teach the lesson? I'm just saying, you have that gift. And as Mama Nim used to say, one monkey don't stop no show. I ain't calling nobody a monkey up in here, but I'm just saying. You have the gift. If you have the gift of giving, Sister Barbara, can I talk about you for a minute? I love Sister Barbara because she has the gift of giving. Even before she was a member of the church, she was giving to me financially to bless me. She wasn't even a member. But she has the gift of giving. She every morning she's at our auntie's house. The gift of giving, she takes care of Mother Cleo like that's her mother. The gift of help, the gift of compassion. We need it more to be stirred up, not just in the greater St. Stephen's, but in the whole body of Christ. Thank you, Elder, for using your gift that you used at U.S. Bank for years. Thank you. So, Yolanda, thank you for using your gift of organizing and putting people to work and getting work done on the fellowship hall. Thank you. Elder Farmer, thank you for your gift to make sure we are doing outreach every other week. Thank you. Thank you. Deaconess Faye, Sister Janetta, thank you for your gift of prayer and words of encouragement. Sister Vicki, thank you for your gift of standing before us and giving us our weekly announcements. Thank you. Sister Kamisha, thank you for your gift of keeping us organized over here, making sure the things are going decent in order, that we're starting on time, that we're doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Thank you. Mother Kimmons, thank you for your gift of giving, your gift of prayer. Mother Harris, thank you for your gift of encouraging, because you call and encourage. Brother Kimmons, thank you for your gift of wisdom and advice, because when we're doing things business-wise, his mind is still sharp. So thank you for using your gift, and don't stop. We got to kick it up a notch. Take it to the next level, that God may be glorified and that the kingdom of God be exalted and expanded. Amen? That is it for today. That is our word on today. That is our word on today. Amen. 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 Let's prepare our hearts and minds now. Does anybody have anything you want to share? And we're going to give our benediction. Do you have? I didn't have a plan for this. I just wanted to yield the floor for people to share. You can play music for the radio, Kamisha. But anybody have anything you'd like to say, share? We'll make way for that now.
Come on. already know this song. Come on, sing heaven.
Heaven.
You already know it.
Oh, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground, now I'm knowing and it's showing. My seed for grace, for favor, it only works when we all do it. To do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say, for grace, for what else? For favor. This is my season to reap what I have sown. Everything is working together for my good. Hey, church, everything is working. Don't feel good, but it's working. For grace, for... I need somebody to prophesy with your body language. Just say, what you say? God is leaning in my direction. Don't prophesy. I said he's leaning. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You got to say it. Say it.
He's leaning.
In my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed. For grace. For favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all. Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth and say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.